Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Hello, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Stacy Ann hanging out with you on this Thursday, October 29th already. It's 7:06, and it is what my kids used to say when they were little, froggy outside. Yes, indeed, it's a little foggy, so you want to make sure you allow yourself some time to travel if you have somewhere to be this morning. And of course, we're in that last week before a time change where it's just kind of very dark in the morning. And then, you know, with the time changes, and I saw a really funny meme, I think it was last night. It's like, you know, this has been such an incredible year already to think of having one more extra hour, right? People are like going, well, let's get 2020 out of here and move on to the next thing. And I keep joking with friends about the biggest waste of money this year is a planner, right? When you buy in the beginning of the year a day planner to plan out your year. Everything that we thought we knew we could do this year has been changed so drastically. And I certainly, my heart goes out to those who've been trying to plan weddings and special family ceremonies, and even those who've lost loved ones in their life and want to celebrate the life, as this happened a few weeks ago with our family and my grandmother. Certainly the celebration of life was changed drastically, and how probably it could have been a few years ago had COVID not happened. And so those of you that have lost loved ones in the natural cycle of life and having to try to figure that out, my heart goes out to you. And there's a lot of challenges, just day-to-day challenges that continue to present themselves to us in regards to work and family and how to make this all pan out for us. And my heart continues to go out with businesses and business leaders and community leaders here trying to figure out, make a way, with continued oversight of the government saying, no, you have to do this and you have to do this, and we're going to flatten the curve, right? It was only going to be a couple weeks, and it ended up here we are all these months later. And so again, I circle back around and say, look, elections have consequences, and we really, really, really need to make sure, and I know I said this yesterday, but if you've not gotten your ballot in, you need to make sure that you get that in today and you get it into the county courthouse. Don't mail it. It might not get there in time. Talk to your friends and family. Do what you can do to make sure everybody is voting and have those conversations. And we're going to continue here at the station all the way through Election Day. I want to continue to have folks in on the air with me that will talk about why they're running for office and give us their thoughts and ideas of how to make our communities better. And I've been watching Polk County. I've been back now to Salem since about mid-January, and I've been gone for all these years. And even though I was gone because of social media, which is very, very nice and a good tool, and we'll get to that in a minute, but because of social media, I've been able to reconnect with classmates and friends and family here in Oregon. So I've been aware of what's been happening over the years in Oregon and all the interesting hoops people have to jump through to have their businesses and things, with all the oversight and the strong government mandate continually that come out even before COVID. And so it's fun to kind of get back into the different counties. You know, I had an opportunity last week to go to Linn County, the Republican Party, and over the weekend I got to spend some time with Lincoln County folks and Tillamook County folks and helping with campaigns. But I haven't had a lot of time to spend in Polk County. Now, you know our Patriot Uprising show that we hold over the weekend with Mickey Garris. Mickey's very involved in Polk County, and he got his hand on the pulse of what's going on, and there's races going on. And I know a lot of our listeners from Polk County listen in. And so I encourage you to call in and be a part of the show and let us know what's happening in your community. If you have events going on in Polk County, let us know. If you have things that we can participate in or help promote, we certainly want to do that. And in my effort to kind of connect with Mickey, and by the way, he's taking his son hunting, which I just think is so incredible. When dads take their family members out there hunting, because that's something my dad would do growing up in this area, hunting and cutting wood and all of that fall-like activity. And so I was hoping to maybe get him on the air today. That didn't quite work out, but I said, who do you know, Mickey? Who do you know? And he recommended that I get this gentleman on the air, and he's full of all kinds of wisdom and insight, and I'm excited to bring him on the air. And he is actually running for mayor of Dallas. And I think I got you on the air with me, Jim Robertson. Are you there with me?
I sure am, Stacy. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for joining the morning show. And I am so delighted to get to know you and your history, and talk to us a little bit, because our listeners might not know what's happening up in Dallas, and tell us a little bit what this adventure that you're on.
Well, this adventure has actually been really crazy. You mentioned the name, and I'm going to throw him under the bus, Mickey Garris.
Mm-hmm.
He had been talking to me about running for mayor since before I retired from the Navy. I retired from the Navy in December of 16 after almost a 35-year-long career. And so I've been all over the world. I've seen all kinds of things in all kinds of countries, all kinds of cities, all kinds of management and leadership. And so I had about three or four phone calls, and one of them was Mickey, one of them was my wife, and my daughter called, and then a few other people called and said, Jim, if you're ever going to run, because I'd been talking about it, said, if you're ever going to run, now is the time. You know, mm-hmm. And I look back on the words of what Donald Trump said before he ran. He said he would not run unless he needed to.
Right.
And looking at this and the fact that I had three or four people call me in one day and say, Jim, now's the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, this must be a sign that now is the time that I need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to step up and run. A couple of things that got me thinking about it was, I'm not a politician. Obviously, 35 years in the Navy is not a politician.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always been very political. I've always tried to follow what's going on. And I have never believed the mainstream media. I've always taken what they said and then gone to research it. And when I think that's one of the problems that we have, is people don't research it. They just take what they get on Facebook or what they hear from their favorite news source, and they run with it, and that's gospel. But when you start researching and trying to figure out what's been going on and who's been doing what and how they've been doing it, and you mentioned some of it in your intro about, you know, looking at things and how things are going to fundamentally change our nation,
mm-hmm.
You know, I said, well, now's the time that I need to do it. So I decided to step up and run. And so here I am, about a month and a half into my campaign, and less than a week to go. You know, I look around the country and see what's going on, and I'm amazed that so many people don't understand what's really going on.
Well, and that is exactly right. They're not engaged enough to counter the myths that they're being fed out there, and certainly mainstream media sometimes isn't our friend.
Yeah.
I'm curious about you running in for mayor. How many others are running for mayor as well?
So there's three of us running for mayor. There's Brian Dalton, who's the incumbent. He's been with the city politics for about 20 years. He did about 10 years as councilor and then 10 years as mayor. Nancy Adams, who has been in city politics for quite a while. I'm not sure how long she's been there, but she was a prior editor of the Dallas IO newspaper. And so both of them have been around for a while. They both grew up in the area. I'm the new guy on the block. I've only been in Dallas for about 20 years. So I'm considerably the new guy in the area. But, you know, I look at the city that we live in, and I think about my granddaughters and what kind of environment are we leaving for them.
Well, what I'm interested in, I love the fact that you have that naval background. You've been in the Navy. You've served our country. You know how important it is to uphold the Constitution. My question to you is, what are the things that you see in Dallas that separates you from the other candidates that you'd like to see changed or gotten better under your administration?
Well, you mentioned one thing, is the Constitution. I swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution for 35 years. That oath has no expiration, so I will continue to support and defend the Constitution. There are so many people on the on the left who want to destroy the Constitution, starting with the Second Amendment. And I, for one, am not going to let that happen, especially in my city. You know, we have the freedom of speech, the First Amendment. When we look at the First Amendment, we look at what's going on right now with Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, that they're suppressing everything that is anti-left, pro-right. They're suppressing it or they're completely removing it. So the word's not getting out there. So people aren't getting both sides of it. Having both sides of an argument is good. And I'm one of those people who I'm willing to listen to both sides of or multiple sides, because sometimes there's more than just two sides of an argument, but willing to listen to those and take those into consideration, because everybody's voice needs to be heard. Everybody's voice has credibility, depending on how they do it. Obviously, through violence is not the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But stepping up and saying, this is my thought, this is my opinion, this is my idea, that deserves to be heard and taken into consideration.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I agree. And I think it's important that we spend time defending and really educating folks on why we need to do that. What do you see in Dallas of areas of improvement specifically? Are there things, growth, as you have this influx of people moving in and moving out? What are you seeing as challenges that you'd like to address as mayor?
Well, a couple of things. One is I look at the growth in the last 20 years. When I moved here, between the time I moved here and now, the population has more than doubled. And the phrase that I keep using, which I know I'm slightly wrong, there's been other changes and stuff, but we've gotten a Pizza Hut and a grocery outlet with a more than double the population.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough to take care of us. So we have to go to other places to take care of ourselves.
Right.
We need to find a way to focus to bring businesses in to work with us so that we can actually provide for ourselves in the city. A couple of those things that we need to look at is maybe cutting through some of the red tape to allow businesses to move in. You know, I'm not sure what red tape is there. I'm not sure how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that there are issues that we need to look at to see if we can make it easier.
Right.
If you drive up and down Main Street, there are a lot more empty storefronts now than what there were when I first moved in. I know a lot of people from out of state will buy those properties. They'll use them as a tax deduction, so they don't really care if they rent them out or not. Well, we need to find a way to incentivize them to rent those places out, even if they take a loss on the rent, because it's still a tax deduction if you take a loss on the rent, but you're still renting the place out for these small businesses to come in, family-owned businesses, come into some of these storefronts and start a business.
Yeah, economic viability for the smaller towns here in the rural areas of Oregon. And I don't know how many people live in Dallas now.
The sign that I saw from 16 said 15,800 something. But there's about 18,000 right now.
Yeah, so the viability, especially on the other side of this COVID, is so instrumental and key, and having a plan going in is so important. And it sounds like you've already been doing the legwork to kind of get a sense for the things that can happen. We're about to go to break here. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about Dallas. Let's do our big sales pitch for that area and let other of our listeners know kind of what's been happening in that area and what the businesses are that are there and the agriculture and all of that, okay?
Okay.
All right, we'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, with candidate for mayor in Dallas, Jim Robertson. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday and every day. It's 7:22. I'm Stacey Ann, and it's a little foggy outside. It's a nice morning, actually, a little warmer, 47 degrees at the KSLM studio, getting up to about 60 degrees today, but it's foggy right now, my friends, so be prepared. If you have somewhere to drive, be prepared for that. Allow yourself enough time and stay safe on the road. I want to say thank you to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group, Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. They are a morning show sponsor. to get a hold of Dave and Paige for any of your real estate needs, give them a call, 503-939-7099. We're continuing the conversation this morning, having a great talk with Jim Robertson. He is running for mayor in the town or city of Dallas. I think, I don't know what the determination is. I'm guessing it's numbers where it jumps from a town to a city, you know, those kinds of things. But I think nearly 18,000 people, as you described last segment, certainly is a city. And there's lots of really amazing people in Dallas. And I have to tell you a little story, because I was raised here in Salem, and I was raised in the rural area of Salem, just across the bridge, actually, off of River Road from Independence and Monmouth. And I had lots of friends in Dallas, because our little church out in Roberts Community, we were a part of the American Missionary Fellowship, and there was another little church in Dallas, I think it was called Bridgeport, that was a part of Dallas. And certainly, we didn't really have a youth group, so we look forward to youth functionings and camps and things, and we did it with a lot of the kids over there from the Dallas area. And so I know some incredible people from that neck of the woods, and I know that Dallas has a wonderful community, strong community, and values that are so very important. But for those who have never been to Dallas, why don't you give us a verbal picture of what Dallas is like, and what kinds of work experience people have, and what's a big draw to that particular area?
Well, you know, when I look at the draws to the area, that's a couple of the things that I'd like to change, because right now Dallas is more of a bedroom community. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, like I live in Dallas and I work in McMinnville in Yamhill County. A lot of people drive into Salem, and so it's more of a bedroom community. And that was actually one of my concerns, and I noticed that some of the residential builders, they were building a lot of properties for people who possibly retired, older people who were more set in their financial situation, not a lot of building for younger families. Mm-hmm. Which herein lies one of the problems. If you don't have those younger families coming in, the younger families with kids and younger families with people who want to start their career, you're not going to have a big draw for businesses. Over the last about year and a half, as some of the builders started building some of those smaller homes, lower priced homes, for entry level homes for younger families. So when you bring in the younger families, you've got workers for these businesses that you want to entice to come into the community. Mm-hmm. But you also, that a lot of people don't think about, you also have kids that go to schools. Well, when you bring those kids in to put them in the public schools, you get state money and federal money based on the kids that go to those schools.
Right.
And that's something that a lot of people don't think about. It's just like, oh, more kids, more people, yada, yada, yada. But they don't think about the influx of money both at the state level and the federal level when those things happen.
Well, your bedroom community then moving into, you know, people coming into Salem and these other areas to work, bringing back the income back to Dallas, they'll, like you said earlier in the first segment, having businesses there that support. So, you know, looking for ways to be business friendly, it sounds like, is a priority of yours, right?
Yes, it definitely is, because, Dallas needs to be more self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're really not, because we haven't brought in the businesses. I was talking to a very sweet, you were talking about the people there. There's some amazing people in Dallas. I've met some fantastic people. But I met this older couple who had been in Dallas for 65 years, I think it was. They've been married for 55, and they've been there for like 65. And we had a great conversation. They were talking about back in the day, we had a JCPenney's. I think they mentioned a Sears. But there was major businesses inside Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what have we done? We lost those.
Yeah.
We need to find a way to bring those businesses back where people don't have to drive across the bridge into Salem to do their shopping. They need to be able to do their shopping right here in town.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have industry where people can go and start a career and work their way up in that business and stay there if they desire.
Right, right.
You know, those are just little things that will make Dallas a better community. You know, I have talked to others who say, oh, we don't want to bring business in here because then it just brings trouble. Well, not necessarily. It depends on how you do it and what you do.
Well, and that's the point, too, is that how do you maintain your community values but also bring in the right kind of growth? Well, without a plan and good leadership in a town or a city, you can't make that happen. And I know this is in Polk County as well, but being raised off of River Road on the way, not too far, just a mile or so away from Independence. When I came back, I was so impressed with the leadership in Independence and what they've done to revitalize their downtown area, making it a destination. Now, why can't that be done in Dallas, you know, and make it a place that people want to go to, even if it's just for a weekend getaway, you know, with
right.
their family?
Yeah, and that is one of the driving factors that I use. I talk about Independence all the time, and Independence is amazing because they've got that beautiful waterfront park
mm-hmm,
right there,
mm-hmm.
which does make it a destination. However, we can't team up with Independence and Monmouth and make Dallas a destination based on various different factors. I had one of the residents of Dallas said, you know, we should have set something up where we have a kind of like a poker run for the motorcycles,
mm-hmm.
have like a poker run for bicycles or something where they go from Independence through Monmouth to Dallas, or the other way around where there's an event at either end where we actually are involved in that event.
Mm-hmm.
Other things such as contributing to a third bridge coming across the Willamette that focuses traffic towards Dallas and possibly even through Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And then taking, you know, I don't know the last time you've been through Dallas, but you drive up Main Street and you got that beautiful courthouse.
Yes.
And every time I drive by it, I look at it, and the first thing that pops into my head is Back to the Future.
Yes, me too.
Always something going on in Back mm-hmm. to the Future at the courthouse.
Yes, yes.
Why don't we?
You could capitalize and make it something that's people want to go to and kind of have your niche of why Dallas, you know, and have your festival or your markets or your whatever. But having a plan is certainly something so very important. We're continuing the conversation with Jim Robertson. He is a candidate for mayor in the city of Dallas, and we're excited to hear more details when we get back from this. I want to remind you, friends, if you have event coming up, if you have a nonprofit organizational event or something that you think would be of interest that we could partner with in promoting, let us know. Send me an email, Stacey, Stacey, at KSLM.news. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Jim Robertson after this. Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in on this Thursday. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're making radio great again. Thank you for tuning in. And yesterday was an incredible day, friends. Thank you for all of your feedback. We had two back-to-back wonderful shows yesterday, and certainly a lot of information. And I want to remind folks that I put our show, record it, and put it on the website that you can access it and get the link and share it with friends on your social media. Of course, the second hour yesterday, we talked a lot about how not sure over the next few days if there won't be some sort of disruption to Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and things like that. So you want to make sure that you know how to get your information. And one of the ways you could do that is by staying tuned here. We're going to find ways to stay connected with you throughout the election and on Election Day and the day after election. Josh is going to join me as we go through whatever we're facing. And there's a little bit of excitement and momentum, and there's a lot of uncertainty. I think we're going to be surprised, and I'm thankful for Salem Reporter. They've been doing a great job as far as putting out kind of the day-to-day totals of where we're at with voting. Now, we have on the air with me this morning candidate for mayor out of Dallas, Jim Robertson. And Jim, I'm looking here at Salem Reporter at kind of the turnout so far, voter turnout. Now, we're reminding our listeners, you've got to get that ballot filled out and get it down to your county courthouse. Deliver
exactly.
it directly.
And please don't mail it.
Don't mail it.
Drop it off.
And here's something neat. I don't know if they do this in Polk County, but they do it in Marion County. Track your vote where you can actually have it. Seriously, they'll text you like, okay, we've got your ballot. Now we're, you know, verifying signature, and now your ballot has been received. Now it's waiting to be counted. And so it's like, oh, it's in the hopper. You know, it's there. It's received. It's in the hopper. So you, if you want that much detail in Marion County anyway, is that true in Polk County? Do you know?
I don't know if it's that much detail. I did drop mine off, and then I checked the next day, probably about 9 or 10 in the morning, and it did show that I have voted, that my vote has been registered.
Oh, good. Yes, and so you can follow that on. I want to let our listeners know, if you go to KSLM.news, there's a link right at the top there that says Election Resources. You'll see the flag. You click on that, and there's a way you could go and track your vote. And I think, so we've got to do our due diligence. We've got to not only vote, get it in, but also make sure and that it's tracked. And if you have not received a vote, or you hear of someone that I've never even gotten my ballot to vote, then you need to march on down to your county courthouse today and show your identity and then get your vote and vote. Leave it there while you're there. And so here's the stats so far. And I don't know, Jim, if you've been tracking this at all, but right now,
on a daily basis,
you have been. So as of yesterday, and maybe these numbers, to see if it's similar to what you have, this is from the Salem Reporter, Polk County had 27,938 ballots returned. Does that sound about right?
Well, it's pretty close. I'm not sure what time they did it, but mine is from the Polk County election site,
mm-hmm.
and I show that we had 30,443 as of yesterday morning,
which is 50.2%. That is fantastic, because this is the last election, Polk County in 2016 voter turnout, Polk County had 41,455 votes total. So that's pretty amazing that already 30,000 are in. And we still got work to do. We got to get them in. And the other pitch that I say, and you can relate to this as a candidate, right? Mm-hmm. When you get your vote in early, then people aren't spending effort on you to get your vote in. You know, you're saving that effort for those that need to be turned out, because we're going to do it anyway. And so that's really, really important. And I think we're going to have a high voter turnout this year. I think people are stirred, don't you think? No matter where, if they're Democrat, Republican, non-affiliated, these issues are resonating. What are you hearing from people? What's turning them out to vote?
I think just one is we've got social media, which is an extremely large platform right now. And so people are running off of social media. And unfortunately, like we discussed earlier, is they're not always getting factual information. They're getting mm-hmm. memes that somebody put together to sway somebody's opinion or decision. But they're still taking that and running with it. But I think because of social media and because of everything that's being put out through social media and through the mass media, is people are getting stirred up and they're believing things and they're running with those things, and I think that's what's driving the larger vote. And I agree with you, we're going to have a much higher vote turnout than we have historically this year compared to any other year.
I agree. And the interesting thing about this year is, for the first time ever, I'm hearing people registering to vote, like people in their 40s and 50s. They just have not, they've been raising kids, been involved in their businesses. They just haven't, or in their work, they just haven't really paid attention or really cared. They're like, just not interested. I don't like all the negative ads. I'm not going to be a part of it. But I tend to say to people when they complain about the government meddling and oversight and, oh my gosh, you know, give us a break. We need to breathe, right?
Yeah.
I say, well, are you registered to vote? Well, no, I don't like the process. I don't like the negative. I'm like, whoa. You know, you could be a part of the solution. You know, the Governor Brown won by 7 votes the very first time she was elected. So yes, your vote counts. It does matter. And a lot of times, like in your race, when you have 3 candidates, every vote counts, correct?
Oh, yes. Very true. And we have 14 candidates for city council for 5 seats.
Whoa. Wow, that's a huge thing right now. So people are stepping up and getting engaged and involved in the process. That's a good thing, but it does make it really interesting there in Dallas.
Yes, it does. And the unfortunate part is the campaign booklet that came out, the one for Polk County, did not list any of the city candidates for any of the cities within Polk County.
Oh boy.
Marion did, Yamhill did, but Polk didn't for some reason. And then the other thing that I don't like is, because a lot of people were going to vote based on political affiliation or political belief. In the city, we have to register as nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's everything shows nonpartisan. Well, mm-hmm. I don't care how nonpartisan you are, you're still going to have your opinions and your beliefs.
Right.
Me being, you know, a 35-year veteran and believing and supporting and endorsing and defending the Constitution for 35 years, I'm more of a right-leaning person. Somebody
right.
who hasn't done that is probably going to be more left, thinking that, well, the media is right, that, you know, the Constitution was written 200 years ago, so why should we be following it now? It's outdated by events. It's outdated by history. It was written for then and not for now. And they don't realize that the Constitution is a living, breathing document that doesn't change because it doesn't need to change because of the way that it was written.
And we've certainly seen the discussion around the national politics around that with the Supreme Court nominee of Amy Coney Barrett. Yes, and how important it is. And I think there's been some education and some awareness around that because of that appointment. I think you're spot on. That's where you separate from a lot of your competition, is that you are about supporting the Constitution and upholding those community values, but also looking for progress and growth, and how do we stay viable? How does Dallas stay viable as a community?
Very true. And a lot of that is, like I was mentioning earlier, about bringing in businesses as well as bringing in younger families, because all of that rolls together. If you take one piece of that pie out, take one of the ingredients out of your pie, and my mother-in-law, who passed a few years ago, she made a pumpkin pie because she knows I love pumpkin pie.
But for some reason,
she forgot to put the sugar in it.
Oh.
Okay, so obviously you take your first bite, you think, okay, this isn't right. But I didn't have a problem with that because I just grabbed a sugar bowl and sprinkled sugar on top of it. But where I'm going is, if, you know, bringing all of those things into play in the city, it's just like having a recipe for something. You leave out one ingredient, it can change the dynamics of that recipe that you're making.
Mm-hmm. I had a similar thing I did with my kids, illustration that I said, you know, if you have a chocolate chip cookie and 99% of it is good, but you have 1% of dog doo-doo, are you going to bite into that chocolate chip cookie, you know? And so you've got to really look at the big picture. And it, a lot of times, though, people will say, you know, well, you know, and they'll kind of poo-hoo the negative and focus on most of the positive. But you also have to be really, really diligent in sorting out, you know, where do these candidates line up on your values, and vote your values. Don't you agree there?
Yes, definitely.
So when you think about Dallas and you think about nestled there in Polk County, give us a picture of the different communities. I mean, is Dallas one of the bigger cities in Polk County? Where are we at with that?
Well, I'm not sure the population of West Salem, because people don't realize it, but West Salem is Polk County.
Mm.
You go across a bridge, across the river into West Salem, and that's part of Polk County.
Okay.
Dallas is, of course, the capital of Polk County. We do have Monmouth, Independence, Falls City, that little tiny town of about 400 people that I forget the name of it. You know, so we do have a very diverse group of people in the county,
mm-hmm.
just because of the way that the county is laid out.
Do you have farming, a lot of farming, wineries? What else do you have in your county?
There is quite a bit of farming. And to be honest with you, I'm really not sure what the farming
mm-hmm.
communities are all about.
Right. You're more the city guy. You're in
the city.
City
guy, yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk about farming, I talk about my backyard, and I got blackberries. I'd rather have Marion berries, but I can deal with the blackberries.
They're wonderful to be around again, because I know a lot of people look at them as a nuisance, but I think they're amazing. Not living around blackberries, to be able to go out and pick your own, it's incredible. So, but the Marion berries, yep, they're pretty amazing too.
Yes.
So when you think about Election Day, November 3rd, just not even a week away, and hopefully results, if it's too close to call, will there be a runoff? Is that how that works there?
I'm really not sure how they're going to do it. I mean, from what I understand, is it's going to come down to the top vote getter.
Okay.
So there's not going to be, if it's too close, because one person could have one more vote than the other. Hopefully there's no ties anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And how soon then do you get to be mayor? Does that happen right away, or do you have to wait until after the first of the year?
January 1st would be the date that I would swear in.
Okay. Well, we're continuing the conversation with Jim Robertson. He is the candidate for mayor in Dallas. Thank you, Jim, for being a part of this conversation. I've got some more questions when we come back from this break, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday. Good morning to you. It's 7:47. We'll be back after this. Oh, it is a good morning. Thank you for tuning in today. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Be sure to like us on Facebook at KSLM Radio. News that you can use here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And we are staying on top of what's happening in the area for elections. Of course, you know, about a week and a half ago, we had the mayor of Almsville on the air, and he is running for re-election. And now we have Jim Robertson, who's running for mayor in Dallas. And Jim, it's been delightful talking with you. I know you talked about your Navy experience. You have administration experience in your background. What kinds of tools will you bring to the office of mayor that to serve the people there of Dallas?
Well, other than, you're absolutely right. Other than my military background, and I did human resources in the Navy, and I've got my bachelor's is in business administration, my master's in human resource management. And I've spent 35 years taking care of people in the military. Once I retired, my wife told me, you're getting on my nerves, get out of my house. So I went back to work, and I worked for almost a year over at Walmart in Dallas as assistant manager there before I decided to go to work for the state. And so even at Dallas and working for the state now, it's all been about taking care of people.
Mm-hmm.
As you go through life, you start to realize that money is not the important thing. Money does help the world go around. But the most important thing that any organization can have is its people. Same thing with a city. So realizing that the people is the most important thing that I will get to deal with and get to take care of and get to support, and being open to them. And I've always been a proponent of an open-door policy. If you have a question, come and talk to me. If you have a concern, come and talk to me. If you have an issue, come and talk to me and hopefully bring a solution to that issue. But just being open to talking to people, I think, is a major, major thing. I do know that there's other people who they don't want to talk to you if your thought or opinion or idea doesn't match theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that I've always steered away from. If you have an opposing viewpoint, fine, bring it to me because I might learn something from you.
Exactly. And that's something in our culture that we've lost, unfortunately. And I don't know if it's because of the lack of civics or the lack of training and prep on how you can reason together and have completely different ideas or values even and still be friends and still work together and still come up with solutions. I don't know how we've lost that in our society. It's like so many of us want to hear, we want to have a bigger picture. Help me understand. Help me see it from your perspective. I think we're better for it. But this climate of cancel culture has just said, oh, but you don't think like me? You have no value to me. And
exactly.
It's really sad. It's really sad. Let me ask you a few questions about the mayor, because I'm learning about that there in Dallas. The mayor here in Salem, they're elected. Mayor Bennett is elected, and he is in the position, and it's a non-paid position. It takes a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of direction. And then there's a city manager here in Salem, and the council, they set policy and stuff, but the mayor is kind of like the salesman of the city in a sense, and building the bridges and representing the city and all of those kinds of things. Not so much the hands-on admin. Is it a similar type of government there in Dallas or a little different?
Exactly the same.
Okay.
And I don't call it I call it the cheerleader for the city.
Yes, or champion for the city, yes.
Yes. But someone who is always supporting the city and promoting the city. And so it's more of a figurehead than anything. There's two different ways that cities run. One is what they call mayor strong. So in some cities like in New York, the mayor has all the control, regardless of what the council does. The council does vote on things and vote for decisions and the way to implement policy and stuff. The mayor actually has a lot of control. Mm-hmm. But with cities such as Salem and here in Dallas and a lot of the other cities throughout the state, it is what they call a mayor weak, or as I call it, a council strong. So the mayor is more of a lead to the council, puts together the agenda for the council meetings, controls the council meetings, assigns councilors to different committees to be able to work on various issues throughout the city.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that gives me a better picture of how that's, and again, I want to applaud you for stepping up, giving your time, treasure, and talent, because it's a job that you're being hired for when you're elected, and yet there's no pay. And this day and age, you know, people are a little concerned, you know, about how they're going to make their day-to-day living, and you being retired helps certainly, and being involved. What is the, is it a full-time thing in the city of Dallas, or is it something that you do part-time? How does that work?
It's part-time, but it can lead to more time. So it's, like you said, it's a non-paid, it's a volunteer status. And remember, it's not that I would be a leader, I would be a representative.
Mm-hmm.
And so just being open and available to receive communication from everybody throughout the city is half the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And then going out and talking to people. I've got plenty of vacation time, so I can take it off from my job and go and deal with things from the city that I need to work with.
Well, I think I applaud you for your time and willing to do this. And I've been talking about this on the show many, many times, saying, come on, folks, we need to step up, especially those of us that kind of like you and I, we're empty nesters, but we've got our grandchildren now, right? And so
yeah.
We have a little more time to be able to do that. And we have the wisdom and experience of having walked through a lot of those things that we can bring back to our cities, our school boards, our councils, the mayor office. And so you're great illustration of being willing to step out and go for it. And so I think you're a great example to our listeners who need to get more involved. So congratulations to you for saying yes and doing this.
Thank you.
So what do you look forward to today? What do you got on your agenda for campaigning today?
Actually, today is not campaigning. Today is about my granddaughters.
Oh.
I'm going to take them to Easy Orchard's pumpkin farm so that they can go play in the corn maze and all that stuff, and we can get our pumpkin and apple donuts.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I don't know of this place. You'll have to tell me a little bit more about it. Is it in Polk County?
No, it's actually, I think it's still in Marion County.
Okay.
So it's just north of Salem.
Excellent.
And that's called Easy Orchard, and they do a great job. I take my granddaughters out there every year, and this year we tried to take them out last weekend, and it was just crazy packed. So I'm leaving work early today to go.
Well, it looks like you're going to have a great weather, great afternoon to
yeah.
do so. Take lots of pictures, and what a fun time. And that's what it's all about, right? This is why we're getting involved, engaged in the process to hold on to the legacy for our future generations, right?
Yes.
Well, thank you
Definitely.
For taking the time to be on the air with me. How do people get a hold of you?
I do have a Facebook page, and you can just look for Jim R. for Mayor, and it should take you to my page. And I've got all kinds of information there. And if you send me a private message, I will answer your questions or respond to you. If you post it on the feed, I will answer it there too. So, I'm easily accessible there.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we wish you the best, and thank you for taking the time this morning for, your busy day that you have, and enjoy your time with your grandchildren. And I'm excited to hear the results on November 3rd, and I really hope to hear that you're the mayor of Dallas. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much, Stacey.
Yes.
Thanks for having me on this morning.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. We've enjoyed a wonderful conversation with Jim Robertson. He's running for mayor in Dallas. I want to remind folks that we'll have this hour up on the website in the podcast section under Good Morning Salem, where you can share this link with your friends that live in the Dallas area so they get to know Jim and maybe even vote for him. Wouldn't that be great? Well, we're going to go into hour two right around the corner, and I'm excited. We're going to talk with a local business owner and how she has been able to stay open through the COVID and kind of assistance that the city is come up with to help local businesses. Excited to meet with her at the top of the hour. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday and every day. Remember, whatever you're facing today, over, under, around, or through, you and I, yep, we're overcomers. Have a great day.